I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Deck the balls with boughs of holly. Welcome to round two of the Football Ramble Christmas Party. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Vidushina Hantharaja.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
I love you saying Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, such a... guys.
Did you know it was deck the halls and not deck the balls?
Oh, was it?
Yeah, that's why.
No, of course I did. You know, just making everything football related, as we do.
Of course.
Brand.
Love Christmas. I love that we're all in our little festive jumpers.
Yeah.
Loving yours, Luke. Carly Slay Jepson.
Yeah. Carly
Very
Bay
good.
Jepson.
Oi.
Yeah. And you've got...
Slay my name. Slay my name.
Nice. Nice.
Hell
good.
Yeah.
That's very good, yeah.
Jim, you had to buy three Christmas jumpers.
Yeah,
because you didn't have one this year.
I can't believe that. I didn't have to buy three, did I? But I did buy three. I figured one wouldn't
buy
come
two,
in time.
Buy two, get one free?
No, I figured one wouldn't come in time. I was correct.
Yeah.
And there was a sizing issue with the others. I thought, well, I'll get this. The one I like most is the large ones, the one I'm wearing. It's maroon.
Yeah.
More burgundy, actually. It's got reindeer on it.
I'd have called it brown.
Yeah. Well, you know, either way.
Yeah.
And yeah, the other one, I thought, is that going to be big enough? So yeah, now I've just got to send loads of stuff back. Cheers, everyone.
The pain of online shopping. And yeah. Vish, you've made an effort with just a green
I've had to freestyle it because I went through my wardrobe at the start of the year and I threw a lot of clothes away. And I threw a Christmas jumper away.
Oh, I bet you're regretting that now.
Never
like
do that.
An idiot. Got
to keep them all.
Like an idiot.
I've
bad luck
stash.
For 7 years.
No, yeah. That's not it.
Have you made that up?
I've made that up.
Kissing your cousin, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's 7 years.
It's done me all right. I'm having a great time.
Christmas is just the best, though, isn't it? Oh, I love brilliant. This time of year. It's an excuse to just basically eat everything and feel really fat 24/7.
Yeah. I've been eating really well. I've been working out every day, and it is so I can eat like Henry the fucking eighth.
Yeah, definitely
worth it.
Absolutely. What are your Christmas food traditions in your house, then, Jim?
Actually, I think this is a bit more common than people realise.
Jim, just tell us about your dad.
We'll get to Ian.
We just want to hear about your
we'll
dad.
We'll get to Ian.
Does he dress up as Father Christmas?
He looks like Father Christmas anyway.
So he doesn't. And he's got a twin. Yeah.
He does have
does
a twin.
Does he have the beard?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. He's,
what, he looks, white beard?
Yeah, white beard.
Oh, my God.
He's a sort of Father Christmas that would probably be... He wouldn't leave the British Isles, shall we say.
Can you bring him into Ramble?
I can try. Yeah.
He'd love to come in. He's come to some live shows before.
Yeah, we've long said that we should just get a show with our dads instead and not explain it or ever acknowledge it.
So
maybe
weirdly,
we should do that
your dad looks a bit like Pete's dad as well.
Yes. Yeah. Weirdly.
That's strange.
Pete's dad's a little smaller, isn't he?
But how does your dad approach Christmas? What's your dad's big thing for Christmas?
So my dad, bless him, for as long as I can remember, his plan was to retire. Renovate the loft and build a big train set in there.
Right, nice.
And
that's
is now
dad thing
great
do,
dad behaviour.
Yeah. Proper dad. And that is now underway.
Oh, great. Like
it's actually quite moving and emotional that he's very, very near to completion. So generally what we do is we get him loads of train set stuff for Christmas because he's a big kid. And
cute.
So, yeah, so many questions to answer now. Let's start with the food tradition. We have tea and a bacon sandwich after opening presents.
Same. We have bacon sandwich every morning.
A bacon sandwich might be a Christmas tradition that no one is acknowledging as a Christmas
tradition.
Is it
the same
for you
guys?
Right?
I just have a full fry up.
In the morning of Christmas Day?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Before Christmas, what about you, Bill?
So, we'd have like a big breakfast and then we'd eat kind of late in the day. But having an American partner now, they'd always have a big breakfast on Christmas morning.
Yeah.
But they'd eat a lot sooner. Also, they're smaller as well, so they cook less food, which is annoying.
No, that's not what you
what
want.
What do you mean they're smaller?
As in, like, they're littler people.
Oh. Yeah.
But I'm a little people, and I eat a lot.
I know.
So fish for fuck's sake.
But it is funny. So, like, I've been going back to the US for Christmas for the last few years, and they are so small that I am tall to them.
No, no way.
And so little things are like, I help them set up the tree, the decorations up and stuff like that.
I'm imagining you putting the star on top of the tree.
Could me and Jim fit in their house?
No, it'd be like, you know, like in old cartoons, you'd like be kneeling down looking through the ground floor windows. Yeah, yeah.
It'd be like in Jurassic Park, The Lost World, where a T-Rex looking through the upstairs windows.
I think what would happen is if he rocked up in the neighbourhood, we'd have to make some kind of sacrifice and leave it outside for you. So they generally have a meal. They have a meal on Christmas Eve and then a big, big breakfast on Christmas morning and then leftovers from both breakfast and the dinner before.
Oh, that's interesting. What's the Christmas Eve food? Is it traditional like English Christmas dinner as we know it?
No. So Americans, as Luke or Vartel, they do turkey at Thanksgiving.
Yes.
But they don't necessarily do turkey at Christmas. Yeah. But generally at home, I was raised Hindu, so we never really did Christmas. But because we grew up, you know, over here, we always had a Christmas tree and we always do presents. But it's my mum's birthday on Christmas Day.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Cool.
And I remember...
Does she like that or not?
She does. She didn't like it very much when, as a child, I thought I was being logical when I said, is it fun to spend Christmas, or rather your birthday, in the room that you love cooking us food? And she genuinely slapped me. but it's really nice. All the family kind of come round and we have a bit to drink and a bit to eat. And,
nice.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Do you get her a little birthday tree?
You should.
Birthday
you
tree.
Should.
No, nice. We don't. We should do.
Yeah.
We get a
Do you do presents for birthday and Christmas?
Yeah, so everyone gets presents, everyone gets my mum a present, and then we just get each other stuff.
Do you tally it up though and make sure your mum got more? Because I can see how that might easily get lost.
No, because mums are really bad for this, aren't they? Because they never want
they
any fuss and they never want anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
So genuinely my mum for a while, we've managed to get this out, stop her from doing this, but she would slate us for getting her presents because she.
How you made that Christmassy slate.
Yes, yeah.
Very good.
1 year she said, "Why are you getting me a present? You're a freelance journalist."
Yeah.
Why did you choose this as a career?
I bet you felt seen. You felt so seen.
It was one of those where it was like, I, when you try, you do something in love, and what you get in return is anything but. Yeah.
But then she caught you later on. shoving toilet rolls in your bag to take home so you didn't have to buy any.
Yeah, which is weird because I still lived in the house.
Yeah. Amazing. Mine's bacon sandwiches in the morning. Mm-hmm. That's a thing. Then we open presents and then we'll probably go for a walk because my purse is right near the sea. On the south coast.
Go down the beach for
a
walk.
Yeah, go for a walk. See all the dogs, because there's always dogs out. Yeah.
Walk. Just see people's
dogs.
In the sea,
yeah.
Do you have dogs?
They're seals, mate.
No, your family. Your family don't have dogs, but you go and see other people's dogs.
Well, you go for a walk, and there are people walking their dogs on Christmas morning. It's a cool thing.
Yeah.
So if you love dogs, as like Jim loves dogs, but he doesn't have a dog.
I love dogs.
Well, I live with a dog.
You do now, so, but you didn't before. You can go for a walk, and you can see people out. It's nice. Particularly if it's a very crisp winter's morning. Go for a walk with the family when the turkey's cooking. Come back, eat probably about 2-3 o'clock, and then probably a few games.
It's interesting you say while the turkey's cooking. Like, I think this, I've not heard of many other families doing this, but I think my parents do it because they've always done it, and that's what that generation seemed to do. Mine cook the turkey overnight.
They get as big a turkey
as they can find. They cook it overnight. So when you come down in the morning, you smell the turkey cooking. And that sensation is the same now as it was when I was like, a baby, so it's like it's completely unique, and that's the best bit of the day for me.
So have you heard? I know what you mean. Yeah, I understand that. Have you heard? I can't remember which show I did it on. It might have been with Luke and Pete, where there was a guy who emailed in, and he was working as a Christmas boy at Marks and Spencer's, and everyone at Marks and Spencer's told him, "Oh, by the way, when the shop shuts on Christmas Eve at like 7 o'clock, everything that's left over you get for like ridiculous cut price."
Oh my god, that's amazing
fees, right? And so he told his parents when I think he was about 18 or 19 working in there as a Saturday boy. And he told his parents, and his parents basically piled a load of pressure on him to get all the Christmas food on that night. and he said because like his dad couldn't park near the Marks and Spencer's, he had to basically buy everything in this big trolley and carry it himself to his dad's car. Oh, and he said it ruined his Christmas because like 2 weeks before, he just kept thinking about this 3-hour window. We had to buy everything for the whole family's Christmas.
Oh my God.
And he was only 18. Oh, but apparently God. He managed to pull it off.
You don't want that pressure because there is so much pressure on Christmas Day food, isn't there?
Do you have a big football tradition in your Christmas and your family for Christmas? Because we always go, whenever we can, we always go to Gosport Borough, which is the local non-league team to where my parents live. Mm. And they normally get, I mean, it's different now because of COVID, obviously, but they normally get quite a bumper crowd. They probably get their biggest crowd of the season on Boxing Day. And we would always go either there, or if they're away from home, we'd go to Fratton Park and watch Portsmouth. So football and watching football on TV and stuff is a big part of Christmas for me. I don't know if it's the same for you guys, because you're probably working, are you?
Yeah, well, the thing is now, like, my Christmases have changed so much over the years. They've like gone from one extreme to the other. And obviously now working in football, I work pretty much every Boxing Day. It's just the way it is. So that's been happening now for the last 6 years. So that's what I do on Boxing Day. I go in, cover all the games for telly, for BT Sport. That's what I've been doing for the last few years anyway. And before that, I would go and watch local football when I lived in Brighton. I used to go to watch Lewis on Boxing Day. And then before that, I was living in Jamaica, so I had hot Christmases. Yeah. So I would literally go and spend the day on the beach.
Nice.
My dad has not had a Christmas for 34 years. Wow. Because since I was born, well, before I was born, my dad's been a chef his whole life. So chefs work on Christmas Day. Working in a hotel, he's always been up at the crack of dawn, goes in to do the breakfast for the hotel. Then he comes home. So we would have to wait for dad, like as kids, me and my brother would have to wait for my dad to get home on his break to open presents.
Oh, wow.
I know. So we've been taught patience from a young age. So I think we would open presents like roughly around like 10 a.m., which is quite late. Normally, like kids are up at the crack of dawn. I stayed at my brother's a couple of years ago on Christmas Eve, and he's got two kids. And I think Miles, my nephew, was probably about maybe 5 or 6 at the time, and he woke up 5 times during the night and was like, "Has Santa been yet? Has Santa been yet?" And we finally like said to him, "Okay, we can go downstairs now." At like, I think it was about 6 a.m.
Yeah.
But for us as kids, we didn't open presents till about 10, and then dad would go back to work, and then we'd have to wait for him to have a break to come home, and then we'd have Christmas lunch at around about 3 o'clock. So our Christmases were so different when I was living with my parents. I would literally spend most of it on my own, just lying on the beach.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so different. But then I've moved back to England, it's more traditional as you'd expect. So I've been spending it more with my brothers or with my partner and his family. So
a hot Christmas is weird. But when I lived in New Zealand, I remember I flew back just before Christmas, and it was starting to get warm, and then it got really warm. as they were putting all the decorations up into the shops, and it felt really like a bit of weird cognitive dissonance. My brain couldn't process it properly.
My best mate lives in Australia, and they like have barbecues on Christmas Eve and stuff. It's amazing. Yeah. It's so different, isn't it? How everyone's Christmases range in a different way. But in terms of Christmas food, have there been any fails in any of your houses on Christmas Day in terms of the food going wrong or someone forgetting something?
No, because I
that's my, the dread, isn't it?
My mum's pretty good, and I'm the sous chef, so I basically just do whatever she asks me to do. So if it's like organisation or just an extra pair of hands, I'm always there just to help. And my mum's across it, but I think she just needs an extra pair of hands. And also, it depends what how many people you have for Christmas Christmas lunch, right? So Thanksgiving with my wife's family, I remember the year we got married, they sat 35 people for dinner in their house.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
In their house.
How's that even possible?
Well,
where do they sit?
Yeah, the house is big.
Table's big enough?
Two big tables. Basically.
Jesus, that's mad. That's, people scramble around for like chairs for like eight people.
But they use...
What a shift.
The thing is, like, so their next door neighbour goes away for Thanksgiving, gives them the keys, and they use their kitchen as well to cook. So they have, so they've got extra ovens and space. Yeah. So they're running back and forth between
what
the next
operation.
Oh, that's amazing, yeah.
Yeah, I cooked my Christmas dinner this year, and the pressure on you, you panic, don't you?
Well, I've done it a few times, and I want to say maybe three times without the help of my mum. And it is so stressful. And the idea that you're going to be held accountable for other people's Christmases,
you don't want to
is.
Fuck it up.
Yeah, because you probably, it would be a reasonable shout about ruining the day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, without doubt, yeah. It's so
totally
centered around food. Yeah.
So if someone got me like a low, if someone, the age I am now, if someone got me like a below par present, it probably wouldn't register.
I wouldn't care. Yeah.
But if the lunch got ruined, I'd like to think I'd rally around, but secretly I'd be upset.
Yeah. And let's be honest, it is a roast with turkey.
But there's extra shit going
actually,
on.
But can I say, do you even like turkey? Because
I
don't.
My wife doesn't eat it.
I don't do turkey for Christmas.
I'm on the fence about it because I like it, but I recognise that when people say it's too dry or it's too this, that they are also right.
It's not the best meat.
It's not.
Nah.
But what I'm going to say...
No one's favourite meat, is it?
Yeah, what I'm going to ask both of you now is, do you brine your turkey? Do you brine your turkey?
Getting to the next level
now. I
don't
even know what that is.
Well, exactly. So that's why you're getting weak ass turkey.
No. In general, there are so many better meats out there. Have a bit of lamb.
So, Vish, are you talking
lovely.
About storing it in salted water overnight?
Yeah, put it in salted water overnight. You then you dry it off. You also, once you put it in cold salted water, what you can do then is you can put your fingers under the skin. You can raise the skin a bit, then you chuck as much kind of butter as you want down there.
You're fingering a turkey.
Fingering a turkey. Yeah, you're doing all sorts to a turkey. It's like
you're doing the Patrice Evra style sensual kissing as well.
Is this the scene in American Pie but with Vish?
The whole turkey.
You came alive there as well, Vish. Very sort
got
of
really into
gesticulating
it.
Wildly there. I think there's a cooking show in your future.
Just whenever meat is slandered in my presence, I cannot keep quiet.
Right, you guys. Now, you know, Christmas Day is about all these things we've talked about, but as I've mentioned a while back, it's also about games.
100%. Right?
There's games to be played on Christmas Day, whether you love your family or can't stand your family, you're probably going to have to be forced to play some kind of game. I've prepared, because I'm a loving friend and colleague, a game for each of you to play on this Christmas special.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah, and...
loves a game, doesn't he?
I do, actually. I love it. I love preparing them. I love researching them. Jules, you're going to be up first. You've all got a game each.
You're quizmaster today.
Yeah, Jules, you're going to be up first.
All right, let's see.
So you're going to basically choose a number between 1 and 3.
Okay.
And because there's 3 games, obviously 1 each, and the number corresponds to a game, and I'll read the name of the game and I'll explain how to do it. So pick a number between 1 and 3.
Let's go 3.
Okay, you go for number 3. Number 3 is Latin name for animal or current professional footballer. I'm going to give you a list of names. There's 10, and you need to tell me if they are the Latin name for an animal in the animal kingdom or a current footballer playing somewhere in the world.
I love this.
Okay,
I'm
there's 10 of them, and the person who gets the most points out of 10 for each of their games is going to win the prize, which I'm delighted to say is a mince pie. It's just outside.
The ones I brought in.
Yeah, you've already eaten about 3 of them.
The ones I brought in are the prizes.
And you've already read about 3 of them.
I have. They got a lot of brandy in. Okay. Very nice. Can I ask, do I just say footballer or
animal.
Latin?
Oh, footballer or animal?
Animal, yeah, sorry. Go on.
Yeah. Right, go on. You ready? First name. Rana Catisbiana. Rana Catisbiana. Is that a footballer or a member of the animal kingdom?
Member of the animal kingdom.
That's correct.
Yes!
Well played.
Cool. Guess
what animal it is?
Repeat it for me.
Rana Catasbayana.
I'm going to go for a platypus.
It's a bullfrog.
Oh, I hate frogs.
Number two.
How could you hate frogs?
Yeah. What? They're like my worst fear. You know, really? On, you know, like on I'm a Celebrity, they put all those bugs in those cages. Whenever there's a frog or a toad, like what? Literally makes
Why
me gag.
Frogs
what do you think they're going to do?
Would you eat frogs' legs?
I've eaten them before.
Was it off a live
they
frog?
They were quite nice.
Vengeance.
No. Yeah. I just can't. They're just horrible. All they right. actually make me sweat. Look, my hands are clammy.
I didn't know that.
Okay, cool. Anyway, I got it right.
What a dark
frog.
Twist.
So 1-0 to me.
I feel bad about that frog I wrapped up for Christmas. For you. Right, it's out the way now. Number two. Hen Herdiana.
Footballer.
Hen Herdiana. You think that's a footballer?
Mm.
Okay, where does he play?
I reckon he's Dutch.
He is a footballer. So yes. That's number two out of two. He plays for Persib Bandung and the Indonesian national team.
Oh, nice. Excellent.
Okay, number three. Strix Aluko. Strix Aluko.
Strix Aluko. I reckon might be related to any Aluko, so I'm going to go footballer.
Okay. Who do they play for?
Juventus.
Okay. It's a tawny owl, so...
That plays for Genoa.
That's wrong. Yeah, that's wrong. Yeah, that's wrong. So you're still on two. Number four, Tridakna Gigas.
This is really hard.
That sounds like a...
Tridakna Gigas.
That's an animal.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Said with so much
I think that's a spider.
Oh, it's actually a giant clam, but you're correct with animal.
Oh, great.
Number five. Here we go. Five down. Ganbold Gambaya. Ganbold Gambaya.
I think that's a footballer.
It is a footballer.
Yes.
Well played.
Jesus,
that's four.
Where does that footballer play? I'm going to say like India, maybe?
Plays in Hungary and for the Mongolian national team.
Oh.
Okay, number six. Capra Falconeri. Capra Falconeri.
Animal. Yes.
Nice.
Come on. I'm absolutely smashing this.
Want to have a guess at what that is?
I'm going to say that's a fish.
It's a mouse.
Falcon?
It's an Asian mountain goat, weirdly.
Oh. I was the closest.
Goats what did are my favourite of all the animals.
I said mouse. All right, because it's a four-legged mammal.
Yeah. Goats are my favourite of all
right.
animals.
All right, yeah. Four to go.
Agents of Chaos.
Play along at home. Nadia. Arga Winata.
Footballer.
You sure?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yes.
Nice.
Plays in the Indonesian national team. Sorry, that's six you've got.
Is it all from? Everything from Indonesia?
No, I've missed one. I think.
No, not all from Indonesia.
Want some Suisse now?
No, you've got six out of seven, which is pretty good.
Yes, come on.
Zesis Sikos.
Zesis Sikos. That sounds like an animal to me. Damn!
Footballer.
Greek footballer.
Greek, yes. Plays for the Greece
of
Under 18. Number nine.
Not that I know him, but.
Oh, yeah. Him.
Yeah, of course.
Arsus insularis.
Oh,
Arsus insularis.
That's definitely an animal.
Yeah.
Want to guess what animal it is?
Some kind of grasshopper.
That'll be news to the left back for Genoa. No, am I joking?
Oh.
It's a bird native to New Guinea.
Oh, okay.
Sounds like a bum parasite.
Yeah, it does a bit.
Arsus solaris sounds like sun shining out of the arse, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
One more. Here we go. Penis rigida.
I mean, if this is a man and he's not really hung, then what a shame.
The spirit of Christmas, everyone. It's not a sexual day.
Also, what a shame. What a shame. You know, you name a kid, you do your bit, and...
You call him penis and he's not got a big one. I mean, that is a shame. I think it's got to be an animal. Please be an animal.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's a New Jersey pine tree. So a bit sloppy with the details there, but it is member of the animal kingdom, effectively. So that's 8 out of 10.
Yeah!
Pretty good.
Very
pretty
impressive.
Good.
Go me.
There'll
slay
be another
my name,
game.
Slay my name.
Another game later on.
Loved that, Luke. Thank you. Traditional games that you play on Christmas Day. Jim, have you got any that you play with your family?
Actually, we're not that big on games. I think possibly because my brother and I used to bicker loads when we were kids, so maybe we just sort of like stopped doing that. We did play Cards Against Humanity last year.
Oh, I love that.
Oh,
yeah. That was such a good
fun
game.
But is yours, a bit of that here and there.
Is yours not? Because mine is like the whole morning is spent with my sister and her husband and my wife trying to, and my mum and dad trying to make me play a game all morning. until I eventually relent in the
afternoon. So you get drunk enough that you
play. Yeah, I'll play in the afternoon.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of that because I effectively have just got, I've got no competitive spirit when it comes to that sort of thing.
Are you serious?
Like when it comes to a board game, I just don't care about losing or winning.
Yeah, Jim's not very competitive.
No, we are. My family are the complete opposite of that. I think we all have such a high streak of competitiveness. So we play this game every year and it's the best thing called Shut the Box. Have you played it before?
Yes.
Oh, Luke, isn't it the
best
game?
It's the dice and the numbers.
It's so good, yeah. So you basically, I'll try and explain it. You have a box like this. And there's numbers 1 to 12 across there. And you have two dice. Die, as some people say.
No, die is one, I think.
No, die is one. Anyway, whatever. You have two of them. And you throw them. And whatever number it gets, you have to make from the numbers at the top and flip them down. And the idea is you need to shut the box by getting all the numbers down in one go. Basically, it's a game of chance, but it's really good. And we play for money. So we make it more interesting. But the best thing is that one of my my cousin's little boy, he's only about 9 and he loves it. So we've taught him to gamble at a really young age. Right. It's great.
That's good, that.
It's really good. Lessons learned.
So when I was a kid, my great grandma was still around and my uncle was still around and all the men folk, this is old school obviously. Well, they used to in the 80s, all the men folk used to go into my granddad's back room and play cards in the afternoon on Boxing Day.
Vests, presumably.
It was like a big thing.
Vests and cigars.
Vests and cigars. And it was like...
it's just through the strip club, isn't it?
Yeah. You imagine a really British, really, really unthreatening version of The Sopranos. And we used to play, but they'd only play for pennies and two pence pieces, basically. And they taught me how to play that. But they used to love a gamble, yeah.
Oh, exactly. Love a good game. All right, we'll take a break after this. We'll get some more fun Christmas stories and we'll relate them to football this time. So we'll get to that next.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Yes, you are.
I probably watched Linvoy on Boxing Day, I expect.
You reckon?
At one point over the years, legend.
Oh,
lovely fella, by all accounts.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Welcome back to our Ramble Christmas special. As always, we love hearing from you, especially at Christmas time. So make sure you keep emailing us into the new year as well. show@footballramble.com or tweet us @footballramble. It's been amazing getting all of your messages over Christmas, hasn't it?
Yes, it has, absolutely. Shall I read this email? Or are you doing
go
it?
Go on. All right. Do you want me? You can do it.
All right, I'll do it. Whatever. Whatever.
Whatever.
This is an email from Stuart Walsh, who says, "Good afternoon, Ramblers. On the mention of Mark Clattenburg slagging off the referee's Christmas party on the pod last month, I think, this was back in November, I thought I'd tell you guys about my pre-university job at a hotel bar in Northamptonshire on a monthly basis, hosted the PGMOL training camp for all the referees.
Yeah.
A notable highlight included Howard Webb having a slice of my mate's Domino's hidden behind the counter. He did ask first. He didn't just take it, which we'd expect from a police officer.
Yeah.
You wouldn't. The pièce de résistance was the fancy dress Christmas party, which included Uriah Rennie as the Pope, Jeff Winter as Ali G, obviously, textbook Jeff Winter, that is, and Peter Walton as a judge.
Oh, my God.
Can't actually remember Klatz himself. Assume he has been a miserable prick in his room with his mates from the North. Great work, and thanks for keeping us going this year. All the best, Stuart. Anything to say on that, Jules? I've interviewed Hal Webb, and he's a lovely fellow.
Oh, he's the nicest.
You wouldn't mess with him either.
You really wouldn't. He worked with us on BT Sports Score for a couple of seasons. The nicest man. And do you know what? He's a really good sport as well, because when he was going, he left because he was going to take that job in America. And we dressed him up as Donald Trump at the time. It was very, very funny. And he took it very well. He's such a nice bloke, as is Peter Walton, who replaced him after Howard Webb left.
Peter Walton has got the job where he has to explain everything to everyone all the time.
About VAR.
And they still maintain that they're really pissed off.
They bully the shit out of him.
I know, I feel really bad for him.
They always tell him he's wrong. Can you imagine if he told one of the footballers, no, that's not right, what you just said about Aubameyang's finish or whatever.
You want to get in his ear, I want to see that.
Exactly.
Trying to get him to do that next.
Stand up for yourself, Peter!
I love that he's gone as a judge. Like, he's in a party full of authority figures letting their hair down, where they can dress up as anything they want, however they feel about themselves.
I want more responsibility.
I want more power.
Yeah, exactly.
What's funny about that is that he's honestly, like, just the sweetest man ever. So you can't imagine being him, this, like, serious judge. It's like the complete opposite of what he's like as a person. So that's very amusing.
I'm absolutely stunned that Jeff Winter went as Ali G.
Yeah.
Either Ali G, he would have gone either as Ali G or
Heath Ledger's Joker.
Austin Powers.
Yeah.
There was definitely talk back in the day. You know Gunwolf Keys in Portsmouth? It's the big development in Portsmouth where they have all these shopping outlets and the restaurants and bars. There was definitely big talk that there was a big Premier League referee one there. Excuse me, God, I'm getting emotional.
You're right.
It was just beautiful,
just
you know.
It's absolutely beautiful, you know. The area's come such a long way.
I can't wait to go back there.
It's just about time they had something to celebrate. They do such good
work. They just want to have a good time, you know, and people don't let them.
I was just thinking, how pathetic would it be if the referee's dressed up as footballers?
I think what might happen is, I think they might have a little gang going on. I think they might go to on a night out back in the day when you could go on a night out still. They're different towns, because Rob Stiles was from Portsmouth,
right? Okay.
And I think he was there, and so maybe they go to a different town. Maybe one of them hosts it. They take turns to host it, kind of thing.
I mean, obviously they're all colleagues, and it's completely reasonable behaviour. But because they're referees, it just sort of has this kind of veneer of lameness to me. Like, there's like a real budget version of Leonardo DiCaprio's Pussy Posse.
Basically, they do a job that is so not respected that anything they do in their personal life is widely derided.
You think it's really hard, and they're all men in their 40s keeping up with Premier League footballers.
It's a shame that we cane them so much.
No, on the other hand,
Mike Dean.
Well,
should we have another game?
Yeah, go on then. Let's have another game.
All right, who's up next? Bish, you're up next.
Get in.
You've got game number one or game number two next. They're the only ones left.
I'm going to take game number one.
Okay, game number one. Game number one is left winger or left winger.
Nice.
I'm going to give you names, 10 of them. You have to tell me if they played on the left wing for a football team, sort of. Kind of ran out after a while. Or whether they were a left wing politician or activist from down the years. Nice. Okay. You have to answer with footballer.
Greta Hinchcliffe.
Footballer or politician, if you want, just for a short
time. I'm not even going to know when you actually tell me who these left wingers are.
Well, I'm going to explain. Are you ready? Do you understand the rules?
I do, yes.
I need my little thing back then. I had to press my buttons.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Right, here we go, Vish. First up, Jean Templin. Jean Templin. Was that a football player or a left wing politician or activist?
Straight out of the gate, I'm going to say left-wing politician or activist.
Okay. It's a poor start.
It's going to be poor.
Played for Rem in the 1956 European Cup
final. I mean, how was I to know that?
Yeah, well, you weren't, clearly. number two, so that's zero so far. Number two, Tito Cucciaroni. Tito Cucciaroni.
I'm going to say a football left-winger.
Correct.
Yeah.
Played for Milan in the 1958 European Cup final. You're off the mark.
This one's so hard.
Yeah,
this is really
it's difficult.
Just men's names.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think of the names.
It's just men's names.
What I've done is these games, I've thought of the name and the title of the quiz and tried to backfill it.
Yeah. Yes.
And with Jules, I massively ran out. This one, I didn't run out.
I imagine like Stuart Downing's not going to come up.
No, exactly. Not.
Alan Thompson.
Yeah. He is.
Tough.
Okay, ready? Number three?
Mm-hmm.
Stuart Downing. No. Number three, Marco Pannella. Marco Pannella.
I'm going to go footballer again.
I'm afraid not. Activist, Italian left-wing politician, journalist and activist.
That means I'm beating fish.
It looks like you're home and hosed.
Yeah,
it's just gym to go. Okay, number four, Peter Kropotkin. Peter Kropotkin, is that a football player or a left-wing activist?
I feel like I can see that in like faded gold emboss on a book. So I'm going to go left-wing activist slash politician.
Great. Well done. Russian communist
Sounds
philosopher.
Russian, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting that... Sorry, go on.
No, go on. She's a born 1821. Number five, Bruno Mora. Bruno Mora.
I mean, that's just a good footballer name,
isn't
it?
It's a great footballer's name. Go footballer.
Footballer? You want to go footballer?
I'm going to go footballer.
Now we're cooking.
Nice.
There we go. Play for Milan in the 1963 European Cup final.
So it was Indonesia for the animals and it's Italy for the...
Yeah. Okay, so you got three so far by my count. Number six, Josip Permia. Josip Permia. Play along if you're listening at home.
Josip.
Play along. If you're listening to this, yeah, with your pals, play along. Have a little game with it.
A little gamble.
Play some money. Yeah, like my family.
Josip Permia.
Footballer.
Footballer.
Correct. Played on the left for Partizan in the 1966 European Cup final. Okay, number seven. Boris Kamkov. Boris Kamkov.
I mean, that's just got to be a politician.
100%. Yeah. Got to be.
Bound to be.
Also correct. Nice. Well, Russian revolutionary. Number eight. Laszlo Budaj. Laszlo Budaj.
I'm going to go with politician again.
Oh, unfortunately not. No. Member of the 1954 Hungarian World Cup squad. I don't
Where's
know what position
Jonathan Wilson
check.
When you need him?
Reading up about stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. He'd be tearing his hair out listening to me. He'd be so stupid. Right, number nine. Here we go. Penultimate player. You've got five so far. Robert Eriol. Robert Eriol.
Politician.
Ooh, unfortunately.
No! I've been going like A, B, B.
Never works like that.
Was a well-valued member of the 1954 Turkish World Cup squad. As I'm sure, yeah, he'd kick himself later, wouldn't he, Jim?
Yeah, of course he will.
He got to fuck.
Number 10, the final one. Ina Gerhardsen. Ina Gerhardsen.
Politician.
Correct. Correct. That's six. Do you want to have a guess? I mean, you should know this one, really.
What?
What? What?
I guess at what?
Well, what was he? What if he's a politician, which I think is correct, what did he do? Ina Gerhardsen.
I was going to say something that could be quite offensive. So
Don't do that.
Yeah. So I'm going to say he chained himself to a library.
No, did not. He's a longest serving Prime Minister of Norway. Served for 17 years.
Wow.
So there you go. Vish, you got six. It's not too bad.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty serviceable. Good.
All right. So, Jim, six is the score you need to beat if you don't want to come last. We'll get to your game very shortly. But let's get to some more of our football Christmas memories. So, for me, a lot of it now is watching the football on the telly. Vish, do you quite often go to football around Christmas?
No, not really, actually. This is going to be the first Christmas that I actually cover game. So, I did. Chelsea Arsenal on Boxing Day, and I'm doing, you know, that weird little bit between.
What does Jim call
Christmas
that?
The perineum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Between Christmas and New Year.
Yeah. Yeah, that. I'll be working my way around the perineum.
The catch.
Yeah. Oh, God. On the whistle. And whatever that means.
Yeah.
Generally, I've always sat in front of my TV and watched it. And it's good because. As someone who's interested in cricket as well, I'd watch all the football during the day and then at night you'd get the cricket in Australia, which starts at midnight,
taking
all the way through to the morning. It's a bit of an orgy of sport.
Yeah.
And the Boxing Day test is a big thing, right?
Yeah, huge. Yeah, yeah.
Ashes, yeah.
So actually, the first time I had a warm Christmas was when I covered a Boxing Day test in Melbourne. And it's, yeah.
At the MCG, mate?
Yeah, at the MCG.
They have like 100,000 turn up on Boxing Day, don't
wow,
they?
Yeah. That's amazing.
It's a massive thing.
100,000 coming through the gate of the glorious MCG, yeah.
That's quite good. Good accent.
Cheers, mate.
Nice. Yeah.
He does a good Australian accent, as Vish.
The thing is, there have been some amazing Boxing Day and Christmas fixtures over the years, haven't there, Jim? I mean, do you remember Olivier Giroud with that headbutt?
Yes.
That was madness, wasn't it?
Out of character.
Not in Christmas spirit, is it?
No, it's not.
That's not really what you, especially now. Giroud kind of like, because he's been so professional with how he's been handled at Chelsea, with like not playing as much as maybe some would argue he should, et cetera, and how good he's been. It's just not really what you associate with him now,
no,
is it?
No, maybe he tried out being unprofessional, didn't like it.
Don't want to damage that beautiful head.
That's why he left Arsenal.
I'd let him headbutt me.
Maybe he's just... There's a point if you're Olivier Giroud where there's just too much testosterone running through you, and he just had to get it out by planting his nut on someone.
I remember being at a media day at Arsenal once at the training ground, and all the other players were having to do little social media videos with like these commercial partners and stuff. And for the whole day, Olivier Giroud was stood in a little squared off bit with a backlit camera everywhere, just having model photos taken over and over again. All these different menswear brands.
I've got a selfie with him.
Oh, there we go.
From when I...
You weren't the one he headbutted, were you?
I was at the ATP tennis finals. Andy Murray was in the final against...
Oh, was this with Sean Paul?
No.
Did he give out the trophy?
No, he didn't. He was actually just there. There was actually loads of footballers there because it was at the O2. This was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And he was just there in the crowd watching, and I was like, I'm going to be a proper nerd and go and ask him for a photo. So I did.
Did he know who you were?
No, I'd only just started working in football then.
Okay.
So yeah.
I like that answer because he's like, he would now.
Yeah. No, he definitely would.
He'd kick himself now.
I remember there was Arsenal did something. It was basically a sort of a little video about inclusion and various things. And I think Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain was there at the time, and he said, I can't help that I look like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. I think Per Mertesacker was like, I can't help that I'm tall. And the last thing was a topless Olivier Giroud spraying cologne on himself, going, I can't help that I am gorgeous.
Was he really?
Yeah.
He said it better than that. That's my favorite.
Should have got Vish to do the accent.
Oh, I'm gorgeous, mate.
You transported me there then.
Any football, Boxing Day, Christmas memories that stand out for you, Luke?
Not specifically Boxing Day, because the most recent Boxing Day game I went to would have been a Pompey game. I can't quite remember now, but I very vaguely remember Brett Pittman having some kind of influence in the game. But anyway, the one that's always sticks in my memory, and regular listeners to The Ramble will be vaguely aware of this, is there was a legendary game over Christmas at Fratton Park, which, if you guys haven't been there, gets really fucking cold at winter because it's right next to the sea. The wind rips off the Solent.
A sea breeze.
It's quite an exposed stadium as well. Always has been in the past, particularly the away end, which has now got a roof on it, but it didn't used to. And I remember with a few of my friends, I want to say it might have actually been New Year's Day, but it was definitely over Christmas. Portsmouth 0, Gillingham 0. That's where the seed was sown for my hatred of Gillingham, which pervades to this day. And it was just, the game was so poor and the experience was so bleak that it kind of stimulated this almost like existential questioning of what I was actually doing with my life. And at one point there was a guy next to us. You know, you get the guys who, just to show off, they take their tops off and they swing around and they're knocking about in the winter with
like
their
Marcus
top off.
Wearing shorts.
And you see it happening at Newcastle quite a lot, but it happens at Fratton Park as well. Anyway, to put in perspective how bleak and how cold it was, there were fully grown, tough men around this guy with his top off, literally going up to him and having a word in his shell saying, mate, look, seriously, I can put your top on. You'd catch your death out here. You'll be so cold. And he was going blue and stuff. And like, put your fucking top on, mate. It was surreal.
Put your bell away.
He would have been on the other stand. It was surreal. It was just absolutely surreal. And someone will be able to find the statistics somewhere, I'm sure. I don't think there were any shots. I don't even think the players wanted to be there. And it was 0-0. It was the worst 0-0 game I've ever seen. And I think it probably put me off going back to Fratton Park for 2 weeks. You know? No, but it was bad. And that's when anyone ever says, oh, do you remember classic Christmas games? I always say, no, I don't, because I normally have some beers.
Normally shy.
And I'm doing other stuff, but I always remember that one. I'll never forget it.
It reminds me of a thing Pete said. This might have been around Christmas as well, because I remember the temperature being an issue. And obviously, you alluded to Newcastle fans being known for taking their tops off. But I remember he was telling me at St. James's Park once, he was sat in the corner of one stand, and there was a guy sat in the corner of another, and he was a large gentleman who had the groin goes in your jeans, and it's just like you don't realize it's happened, but one day it just goes. Apparently that had happened to this man. He didn't realize, and his nuts had just slipped through.
No,
were just dangling, and he hadn't realized.
What, the whole game? Just,
I don't know about the whole game, but
the old Paul
Pete told me that's effectively. They've just come out to say hello.
And here he is to celebrate Christmas with us.
We've brought him in for the Christmas special.
That's what, you know, when someone tells a story, oh, my mate, this happened to my mate. Yeah. That's Pete telling that story, remember?
Yeah. Keep that in mind.
You know what? It's been such a tough year for a lot of people, hasn't it? And I know so many people have written in just to say thank you for keeping us laughing throughout what's been a really hard year for a lot of people. People have lost their jobs. People haven't been able to socialise. It's been a really hard year for everyone. And so we just want to say thank you to
all you lovely
absolutely. Listeners for sticking with us and keeping us going, because your emails and all your funny stories definitely add so much to this.
Yeah.
I think one thing that I've really missed this year is Christmas parties.
Yeah.
The fact that we haven't all been able to go out and get really pissed
we
together.
We would normally do that.
No, we did have one.
Oh.
I felt a bit cut out.
Yeah. No, I'm joking.
No, that I really have missed Christmas parties.
We'll have to do one in the spring.
We'll have to make up. I think everyone's going to be
in July stuff,
basically 2021, once the vaccine's in and blah, 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 everything's over and all these tears are gone.
Yeah.
Actual tears, not tears from my face. The tears are gone. I think that we're all just basically going to be pissed for the whole year, aren't we? Making up for lost time.
Someone said on Twitter the other day, they now want to understand why the Roaring Twenties happened. Everyone wanted to get pissed all the time in the 20s because of the Spanish flu in 1918 or whatever.
This time last year, I was at the Premier League Christmas party and I snatched a cheeseburger from underneath Michael Owen's arm and ate it in front of him.
Right in his face.
He literally, I stood there across the bar. Basically, like it was one of those parties where they don't have like sit down meal. So it's just basically a piss up in a nightclub. And so they were handing out canapes and stuff. And at one point they had a tray of burgers and I was like, fuck, I need one of those burgers. I was really hammered. So I went chasing after. You know, they run away really fucking quickly, don't they? And you have to like go chasing them around the room. Yeah. By the time I got to the girl, burgers were gone. Oh. Went to the bar to get another drink because I was like, right, if I can't eat, I'll just get more drunk.
Yeah.
And I saw Michael Owen had two burgers nestled under his arm. And I was like,
under his arm?
He was sort of like leaned on the bar like that. And they were sort of like there by his elbow. And I thought,
sort of behaviour you'd expect from Owen.
I thought, you little fucker. I just snuck up behind him and I just went like that. And I took it and I went over to the other side of the bar. And then I was stood opposite him and I literally went and ate it while staring at him in the eye.
What does he think is happening?
He had no idea. He was just like, probably thinking, why is Jules looking at me while I was eating a cheeseburger?
I'm surprised. Pete, you know, cheeseburgers are fun, aren't they? So I'm surprised
I love a
cheeseburger.
Delicious.
Likes them.
Delicious.
Well done, he's hungry.
Yeah. I've only ever had seven cheeseburgers.
I then stole a bottle of red wine from behind the bar, and after that I was told, behave yourself, basically.
Absolute riot at Christmas, dude.
I was going to suggest our third and final quiz, but can we just hear more from you?
No. Let's get to the third and final quiz. I want to know
this is just one party as well.
Yeah, I know.
The same party.
Yeah.
She introduced this to me where she was already pissed, thieving.
Can't wait for the Ramble one next year. All right, Luke, let's get to
I'm
the
scared
last.
To invite her now.
I'm a barrel of laughs.
You are. I can absolutely vouch for that. So the last quiz is for Jim. Obviously, there's only number two left. So I thought, Jim, because you're the old stager, you've been here for a long while, so you get last pick.
Yeah, we'll test how competitive I am or aren't, I suppose, won't we?
Yeah, and I should have thought this through. I should have done you first because you're not going to buy into this.
It's all right. I'll G it up.
Should I kick
him? I still want to win.
So, yeah, you should. This final game is called Academy Prospect or 18th Century Politician.
Okay. Again, just men's names.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you a name and you're going to tell me whether they're currently an Academy Prospect at a professional football club or an 18th century British politician who won a seat at the 1796 election.
Okay.
Okay.
Not a strong point of mine.
1 point for each answer. You'll be surprised how similar these are. Okay. So the number one, okay, name number one. So you just need to say politician or footballer. Okay. Mm. Number one, John Stuart Wortley.
I'm going to go politician.
It's correct. Yes. Good start.
Yeah. Wortley seems like you'd change that.
100%.
MP for Bossiney in 1796. Okay, next up, Miles Pitt Harris.
I'm going to go footballer. Miles. Ooh.
Correct.
Yeah, Miles seems a bit more modern.
Ooh, two out of two.
Currently at Chelsea. Number three, Brooke Norton Cuffey.
Again, the Brooke seems quite modern, so I'm going to go footballer.
Flying.
Oh,
absolutely flying.
Three out of three. The
currently at Arsenal.
The man who doesn't care.
Okay. Charlie Baggett Chester. Charlie Baggett Chester.
Charlie seems oddly formal. But Baggett Chester, something. I'm not sure. I'm going to go politician.
Tay, what do you think, you guys?
I think footballer for that one.
I think he's got it. I think he's politician.
Correct. Four. MP for Castle Rising in 1796.
Castle Rising. A lot of these places don't even exist anymore.
No, no,
this
no.
is something like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Yes.
Malachi Fagan Walcott. Malachi Fagan Walcott. They're all real. Malachi Fagan Walcott.
Malachi Fagan Walcott. Has got to be a politician.
Oh, no!
Yes!
Currently at Spurs.
Yeah.
Oh, have you heard of him?
Yeah, I've heard of him. Yeah.
Oh, Vicious heard of him. Have you heard of him, Jules?
No.
I hadn't either.
I think if you're not going to forget that, are you?
No, I suppose not. Okay, number six. Michael Hicks Beach.
Politician.
Straight in there. You sure?
Yeah.
Correct. That's five.
You've only got one wrong.
MP for Cirencester. Yeah, okay. Tristan Abeldean Goodridge. Tristan Abeldean Goodridge.
I'm going to go footballer.
You sure?
Yeah, some of them are like this now, aren't they?
Some of them are like this.
Yeah.
Some of them are like this.
The prevalence of double barrel names is coming back.
Yeah, it's
big
huge.
Time.
Yeah.
It's correct anyway. He plays for Aston Villa. Number eight, Charles Farnaby Radcliffe.
Surely a politician.
What do you guys think?
I think politician.
Yeah, I think he's a politician who owns slaves. Yeah. that's got the ring of that.
I can't put the detail on it. You want to go politician, yeah?
Yeah.
Correct.
Fuck.
Seven. MP for Hythe in 1796.
That means we can only tie or Jim can win. I can't beat him.
No, he's got seven. If he gets these two wrong, he's won.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm miscounting.
Yeah, it's just mad.
I'll leave you to it, Quizmaster.
Number nine. Martell Taylor Crossdale.
I'm going to go footballer. Martell, again, seems very modern.
I think politician.
What do you think, Vish?
I think footballer.
Martell? Oh, for
correct. Face for Fulham.
She should lose points for this.
What?
She's got so many wrong on this.
Yeah. All right, Jim.
My quiz?
This is for the win. Okay, if you get this one right, you've won the Christmas mince pie.
Great.
If you get it wrong, it's a tiebreaker, and I've got no tiebreaker, so you've got to share the mince pie.
Before you answer this, I haven't had a mince pie, but all you had, so that is technically mine now.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so complicated.
The spirit of Christmas. Okay, you ready? Eddie Bootle Wilbraham. Eddie Bootle Wilbraham. If you get this right, you've won the Christmas quiz. Eddie Bootle Wilbraham.
Eddie seems too formal to be that old, so I'm going to... I may regret it, but I'm going to go footballer.
He's gone footballer. What would you have said, Vic?
I think he's done it.
I'd say politician.
I think he's wiped little Jules's face in it.
No! Yes.
MP for Newcastle under Lyme, I'm afraid.
Under Lyme.
Oh. Yeah, so you got eight as well. You share the mince pie. I'm going to press...
It's Christmas spirit, right?
Jim.
It's my mince pie. Let's...
Do you know what? Because we don't hear this very often, I'm just going to say this.
Vidushina Hantaraja win!
Oh.
There we go.
Vish, you're not very good at games.
Oh, what? That was...
You came last.
Yeah, out of three. Bullshit.
Last out of three, still last.
Which one was the hardest? Was it probably the hardest one?
Mine was the hardest.
I think yours was the hardest. Yeah.
There we go.
You still lost, though.
Yeah. Well done to Jules and Jim.
Thank you.
Probably made your Christmas, that, hasn't
it? Oh, absolutely.
It's made my year.
Turns out I love sort of winning.
It's made my year.
Something else you've stolen.
I did not steal it. I won fair and square. I won.
Michael Owen.
I'm like Liverpool when they were second. It's pretending that they're top.
Unfortunately for you, Jim, the tiebreaker is actually who can successfully steal a cheeseburger from Michael Owen. So, Jules.
Woo! Yeah!
I reckon I could nick one from Michael Owen, but I appreciate that I haven't.
Yeah.
Right, that's all from us on this Christmas special. Just wanted to say once again, Merry Christmas, everybody. And thank you so much for listening to the second instalment of Football Ramble over Christmas. We hope you're having a brilliant festive period with all your family and friends, as many that you're allowed to kind of be with at the moment. And as I said earlier, thank you so much to everyone who's listened and for all your support through a very difficult 2020 as well. So keep it subscribed to the Football Ramble too. We've got loads of fun stuff planned for 2021 and we can't wait to share it all with you as always. So once again, from all of us, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Marcus, Luke and Jim will be back tomorrow with another edition of the preview show sponsored by Betway, because we've got some football to talk about. That'll be nice. So we'll see you then. From all of us here, Merry Christmas, Luke. It's
Merry
been
Christmas.
Lovely to see you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Jim, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And Vish, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas and happy my mum's birthday.
Happy mum's birthday.
Shout out
as
Mrs.
well.
Vish.
Yeah, and Happy New Year, everyone. We'll see you in the new year, but make sure you join the boys tomorrow for the preview show. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.